birthday.
It's June 12th, 1995. You're about to hear Bathroom Spears Broadsides Monday morning. We're going to have as guests, thank you, with help from Skid Marks, Bob.
Then he took him to his house and set him on a nurse's knee. He growed as much in the 1 year time as other ones do in three. Then he took him to the school and for to learn how to thrive. He learned as much in the 1 year time as another one do in five. But I wonder now, said a little Robin, if a woman did bear me. Many a mother do come for the rest, but never one come for me. It fell out in the summertime when they was a hunting game. They stopped to rest in the silver wood, him and Jell and Grain. But I wonder now, said little Robin, why my mammy don't come for me. To keep me here in the silver wood, I calls it a cruelty. But I wonder now, said little Robin, if the truth would ever be known. Wonder now, said Jell and Grain, why your mammy don't come for thee. Lo, there's the place I laid her low, right under that white oak tree. Little boy chose him an arrow, was both keen and sharp. He laid his cheek all along his bow and pierced his father's heart. Lie there, you Jell and Grain, the grave you never will see. The place where lies my mammy.
And again, you are listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, Monday morning show from 10 to 12. We're a little late this morning, and from 10 to 12 on Friday as well. As I was saying earlier, we have the privilege and the honor and the thrill of having with us not only peace marchers who have walked for months and months across the country, apparently being welcomed in each town and nook and cranny they arrived in, except for Santa Cruz and possibly a few other towns. But we also, one of the peace marchers is an old friend of mine who was a homeless, a fighter for rights for people who lived in their vehicles back in the 1970s in Santa Cruz. Felipe Chavez. Felipe, sign in and get your mouth real close to the mic. This requires, like, almost kissing the mic. He's pulling up a chair here.
Oh, it's stuck on there. Okay, my name is Felipe Chavez. I'm with a Global Peace Walk. This is a spiritual walk to bring the consciousness of the people about global peace now. And we've been across the land experiencing various ceremonies from different religious groups that we feel like interfaith is what's going to help us understand each other more, so we can put aside the fear and be able to walk down the streets. Our children will be able to walk down the streets and go to school without guns. This walk is has been really accepted throughout the country. People have shared food and shelter with us, as well as a lot of good wishes and a lot of accommodations from mayors throughout the land, supporting global peace now. I'd like to say that this is a spiritual walk, not just representing any particular race, but unity in the world is something that we strive for. We've stopped at the reservations recently, the Navajo Reservation, where we spent time with the Dene and the Hopi. We have letters of support for Global Peace Walk from them, and we'd like to encourage people to stand up and think about what global peace now means. Perhaps we wouldn't have to build so many bombers, and some of the energy can go for the homeless, the people in need, instead of wasting our money on obstacles and things of war.
Felipe, you've actually been walking since what date?
August the 15th, January the 15th, United Nations, which was Martin Luther King's birthday, And we want to commend all the relatives out there who have supported us, and those who don't know about us, we're in the Santa Cruz area. We're going to be at the Nelson Center. If you want to come and show your support with us, feel free to do that. We start off with hugs and prayers in the morning. We have ceremonies that feel like we all have to be more aware of each other, about how we're all part of creation and there's no difference between us. We're all human beings and spirits.
So you began in January from New York City, and you're marching, as I understand it, to San Francisco because it's the 50th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations. Is that right?
That's true. That term marching kind of goes into the military, so we'll use the term walking together in harmony, strolling together across the land and reaching out to people and what conscience, bring up the consciences of the world of global peace now.
So you've been through many cities. Now, we have also in the studio Donna, is it Parker? Donna Patrick here, as well as Just Man Jim Costner, who's listening in and may have a word or two of his reactions to what's going on. Jim hasn't been seen around here for months, but he apparently has arrived again. At least I haven't seen him for months. But that's of interest to people who know. Jim is an activist locally. But Donna, you've been with the Peace March here since its inception in January?
Yes.
Good. Get in there real close. and what route did you follow? Where did you go? And where did you find the most positive response? And I'd have to ask you, where did you find the most negative response?
Well, we've been getting positive response all along the way from the people on the streets that we've been meeting, just the locals, and collecting letters of support all along the way. We have been hassled before by the police, but usually when we talk to them and let them know what we're doing, they're very helpful in helping us find a place where we can go that is okay. And
let me interrupt you for a moment. How many are you, and how exactly does a typical day of marching proceed? And then perhaps you can return to the previous question of where you got the best reception, where you got the worst reception, so people can kind of get an idea of how you actually proceed during a day.
Right. There's been about 20 people the whole time. People have been coming on and off. There's about 10 who've walked the whole way.
Give us an example of a typical day. You don't stay in motels. You don't get invited to the mansions. How do you deal with it? What does a day happen? How do you get fed? How do you find a place at night? What is your schedule like?
Well, we wake up with the sun. People get started on making breakfast while we're breaking down camp. We have a circle. We pray. We hold hands. We get ready to walk. We have been doing relay walking, to where we'll do up to 80 miles in a day. You might individually just do 20, but as a group, we'll do a lot more by just dropping people off and having more than people walk at one time.
So some of you are in the vehicles while some of you are walking.
Right. We take turns.
And so on an average day, you have a group of 20, and how many people walk on that day? And what's the average distance you cover?
It can be from 15 to 80 miles. It just depends on where we want to go and if we have a deadline, if we have a schedule to meet. We have three school buses and a van and a car. So we have people who drive the vehicles and the rest walk.
Okay. And you walk until dusk, or you occasionally walk at night? What's the story there?
Well, we walk until we hit our point of until we hit our camp. We try to David Williams, our coordinator, he goes ahead and tries to find us a place where we can camp. We don't pay to sleep anywhere. We've been put up in churches, in colleges, national forests. In the wintertime, we try to look for a church somewhere or a college, but now that it's, when it's nice weather, we like to sleep outside.
And your route, what did it follow in terms of different places you went?
Well, we went by Three Mile Island. We had different areas along the way. We went by Leavenworth, where Leonard Peltier is being held. We fasted with him for 3 days and held a vigil in front of the prison. we sweated and fasted for 3 days with him there.
Where was this?
This was in Leavenworth, Kansas.
And that must have been kind of cold. We're talking winter, right?
Actually, we've been blessed. The weather's been really mild. Our winter was real mild, and the desert was gracious. They had a nice breeze. So we've been blessed by having pretty mild weather the whole trip.
So you went through Kansas. You went through, I take it, New Mexico?
Yes.
And you went through Illinois?
We spent our Earth Day in Taos, New Mexico, and had a big gathering there. We've been meeting people all along the way, different spiritual groups, different churches. It's just been amazing connecting with the people.
I work for a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is concerned with the rights of poor people, homeless people, countercultural people locally here in Santa Cruz. And I'm kind of curious what you observed, Donna, in the course of your walk and your conversations with people along the way as to how folks are being treated at different towns along the way by the local police, by the city authorities, how homeless and poor people are living in different towns in this country. Did you have much experience with that? Or?
One thing we've been saying is that we're not homeless, we're landless. This land is our home, and we have no place to go. There's no place to be anymore, and so part of our walk is for that, is to give the land back to the people, and start building communities and.
It's okay. Good. That's what I'm interested in hearing. Have you had conversations with any landless, as you would call them, or houseless, as people around here sometimes call themselves, or urban transients, as some call ourselves? Have you had conversations with people about life conditions throughout the country? And it's okay to say you haven't. I mean, I just thought maybe you haven't. You know.
Yeah, we've had some. This walk, it's been a 5 month. Walk. So we've kind of been. We might spend a day or two in a town, but then we have to leave right away. So our contact with the people has been. We've been getting in as much as we can. But it's a prayer. We're not walking in a protest. We're walking in a prayer. And we've met a lot of people on the streets that have walked with us for a little bit. And just exchanging each other's stories, and us maybe feeding them for a day or two, and them sharing their stories with us, and so all praying for each other.
I see. I guess what I should really turn to now is the reception you got in Santa Cruz, because I first heard about you because of a phone message I received last night. Right across from where I'm now living, and will soon be moving out of, which is near Loudoun Park, I heard that police jacked up a number of people, had them get out of their vans and sit on the curbs. And I investigated this story this morning. I got a further report from Red Top Robert Flory, a local activist on this issue. And then, of course, I walked out into the park and I found you and Yamato and Felipe and others. And you were present last night. And can you tell us what happened when you arrived in town and how you were treated by... Well, I guess different groups of police officers.
It was wonderful coming into Santa Cruz and going to the park and meeting up with everyone. We were having difficulty finding a place to park our buses. We couldn't find any place in town that would allow us to park it legally. It ran into the night. It was getting dark, and we still hadn't found a place yet. Two policemen came up, and we had all gotten in our vehicles because we were
at Loudoun Park at this point.
Right outside of Loudoun Park. We left the two-hour parking and went on the side where the residents park. We stayed in our vehicles so we'd be less intrusive.
It should be mentioned that there is no parking after midnight in Loudoun Park. Signs have been posted around the park so as to discourage people from parking their vehicles there after midnight. This is a practice used along the coasts to stop people who need to park to sleep at night from doing so, and this apparently is also being used now in Santa Cruz to stop people from parking their buses. Go ahead.
Right. We had been offered a place 15 miles away, but one of the buses didn't feel good about going up there because it was a steep hill, and so we were still looking for a place to park. The cops came up and asked us to get out of the vehicles, and they shined their lights in to make sure we were all out. They told us to sit on the pavement with our legs in front of us and our hands on our knees, and they checked the vehicles again.
They have a gun drawn in the time.
One of the cops had his gun out of his holster. They told us that there was a report that a man in orange clothing, which is a man with us, had a gun with him and was assaulting people with a gun. And we laughed because that goes against why we're here. And
this man they were talking about, in fact, one of the originators of the vigil himself?
The man that they accused to have a gun is the initiator of the walk, who is a Buddhist monk from Japan. And he set up, we set the peace pole up in the park and have been started a peace vigil there. And so he is there with his drum chanting and praying. So, we assured the policeman that we didn't carry any guns and we don't believe in violence. They told us that if we... they would give us no trouble if we got in our vehicles and left right then. And we explained to them how that was our problem. We couldn't find a place where we could park we wouldn't be getting hassled. And they said that just to get in your vehicles and drive up I-1 and just get out of Santa Cruz.
And these were two police officers, two male police officers who told you this?
Yes.
Did you notice who they were?
No, I don't know them.
You don't know their names?
No, I don't know their names.
Because it's interesting, today, listeners you might be interested in knowing, is the monthly meeting of the Civilian Police Review Board, which meets at 5 o'clock today at City Hall, right across from the library, right across from the Civic Auditorium. And if people are interested, and I'm going to encourage these folks, even though they're not engaged in a protest, but rather a prayer, a walk, to go down to the Civilian Police Review Board and discuss the importance of police treating people with respect. I think that's a very important thing, and to relate their experiences to the Police Review Board as to what has happened to them. In case people are interested in coming to the Police Review Board, again, it's 5 o'clock at City Hall, and it's only happening today, and there's a half an hour period for public comment when people can actually make statements, and it's a much more liberal comment policy than the city council has. So I encourage you to come on down at 5 today, and who knows, if I can persuade the walkers to come, maybe you'll be able to meet them and hear about some of their experiences firsthand. So they told you, in essence, to leave Santa Cruz?
Yes. We asked if, again, after they told us that, we asked again if they knew of any place where we could go to be safe, and they just said for us to get out of town.
Get out of town. That's, of course, what the police are telling people in the vans and buses up in Ashland, Oregon. And you may remember, listeners, that's what I was reporting to you last Friday at the previous show. I, in fact, hoped to have Aaron from Ashland on the show today, and I again saw him this weekend, but apparently he hasn't been able to make it. If you're anywhere at a phone, Aaron, give us a call at 427-3772, which is the call-in number for Free Radio Santa Cruz. And that's, of course, that goes for anybody else who wants to call in with a question or comment, 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I should warn you that we may let the phone ring for a while because we want to kind of find an appropriate place to pick up the phone. I was letting phone callers kind of run the show on Friday. It wasn't such a good idea. But we will take your call if you stay on the line, and we will give you an opportunity to speak, too. So the police told you to move. How did they speak to you? What was the manner of their address to you? Were they civil? Were they abrupt? Were they friendly? probably couldn't have been too friendly.
No, actually, it was the first experience that we had with the police that that they were so abrupt with us. Usually they would, once we explained to them what we were doing and our situation, usually they would try to help us, but they had no other suggestions other than to leave.
So what did you do?
Some friends with Food Not Bombs found us a place where we could go and be safe, park our vehicles.
And I guess the next morning you were again at the park, although I understand some of you stayed that night in the park anyway, is that true?
Right, some people stayed there, and actually there's a gentleman here who stayed who might be better to tell the story. But
Dean, you're speaking of.
Right, they stayed until about 2 in the morning when they were asked to leave. But apparently they ran into a policeman who was nice to them and treated them with respect.
They actually found a nice policeman as well as some more nasty policemen. People should be aware that Santa Cruz City Council and Parks and Rec Department have made it a policy to close all parks after dusk in order to discourage vagabonds like Donna, and you're going to hear from Dean in a moment, no goodniks who are just walking about the country preaching subversive doctrines like prayer and peace, to stop them from abusing the parks by being there at night. So that's been a beef of mine, that the city fathers and mothers are closing the city spaces, public spaces, to poor people because they want to make them picture perfect for those who walk their dogs in the park and use them during the days. I've got no problem with people using parks during the day, but I'm concerned about the rights of important visitors like these to our town who have been spending months and months giving real actualization to a desire we all have for world peace in a very dramatic and yet gentle way. So the next person I'd like to invite to the mic here in our rather crowded studio is Dean. What's your last name? Dean House, and Dean apparently was one of the group that stayed in Loudoun Nelson Park last night, even though they were banished from town by certain police officers. And I should tell you that when you come into a strange town at night and a man with a gun who's already been waving it around at you and telling you to sit on the sidewalk tells you to leave town, it's kind of takes a certain amount of courage and intestinal fortitude and devotion to your own peaceful cause to say, no, I will continue to do what I intended to do in spite of the implicit threat of force and violence, which goes with the